Welcome to the town, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the town, baby.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dump. It's your boy, Dan. We have reached the final week of the season. It has been a marathon of a year, and most of you would probably agree it feels like that marathon happened on a treadmill because we got nowhere. But, you know, Commonwealth Cup week, I'm not going to call it hate week because I really don't know. I mean, it's been pretty one-sided for the past 25 years. So, like, they might hate us. We're annoyed by them. Who knows? This week's about having some fun. It's going to be freezing cold at the game, but tonight on the Terror Dome, it's going to be hot because I got a UVA fan with me. His name is Trey Kelleher. I hope I said
Kelleher.
That.
Yeah, you got that right.
You said that right?
Yeah,
my man. Great, my man. How are you doing?
Good job. Good job, Dan. Hey, I'm all being real here. I mean, I'm excited to talk some ball. Now, I want to get one thing clear here. Is it the Commonwealth Cup or is it Commonwealth Clash? We got to decide what we're going to call it first because I've seen it 50 different ways.
The trophy is the Commonwealth Cup. The game.
I wouldn't see, like, yeah, I just
the game is the clash.
I just know about the game.
Yeah, you don't know about the cup, but the game is the clash. Although you did win it in 2019, were you around to drink out of it?
No, hell no, no. I was at the game, but definitely get a chance to drink out of it. Hopefully that comes one day. Although, you know, when will that next win come? Hopefully Saturday. It's the same thing every year. I call it Groundhog Day. And I, you know, it really, every year I hope that, you know, we see a shadow or we get a win. And, you know, I was doing the math earlier today, and this is the way I get, you know, when the week starts. As soon as that, you know, we ended our game at SMU, I get nervous. I get anxious about this rivalry game. And, you know, some people probably think that, Trey, you probably shouldn't, you know, put so much effort into it because the results tend to sway against you every year. But I do. And here we are. I am very nervous for the game. I think UVA has a chance to win, but we'll probably get into that a little bit later.
I feel like UVA has had a chance to win the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there have been some close games. And last year, I swear it was like it was even, or it was like the one point spread, something like that. The game was not. As soon as the game started, I was there. I was probably the last UVA fan there. I just, you know, I was just sitting there. I remember I was in the section right behind the 20-yard line UVA side, and I just the whole game, I was like, "What the hell is going on?" Now, it wasn't like what's going on the field. It is 70-30 Virginia Tech fans in here, 70%, 30%. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me mad. I am different in that aspect than a lot of UVA fans. A lot of UVA fans and Tech fans probably have noticed this, do not care about that. And that, hence why they aren't at the game, why you guys are able to get tickets. I do. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is a fucking joke. Like, this is pissed.
Yeah.
I wrote an article a year ago that went, I got some retweets and posts and comments about this and that, about how much I exactly hated it. I wrote it 2 days after the game ended last year because I was just very upset with how everything goes. And I was like, hey, if you're one of the players and you're coming out of the tunnel in Charlottesville and you're a senior and you're hearing more boos than you are cheers, how do you think you're going to play in that situation?
Right.
That kind of shit just makes me so mad. But hey, credit to you guys for being able to do that.
Yeah, so I went last year in Charlottesville. It was cold that day too.
Yeah,
it was pretty chilly. But like my boy, I went with him, and he like he got like coaches tickets because he like coaches high school ball, but he's a Tech fan. So they put us up top,
mm-hmm.
free tickets. Wow. But like within like the first 5 minutes of the first quarter, we noticed like we could just move to lower bowl. So we moved to the lower bowl. UVA ran out of beer by halftime in the lower level of the stadium. That's even more of a joke.
They're not used to that many beer drinkers.
Yeah.
And then, hey, Come
The, and
on.
then the hill was covered with Tech fans.
Yeah, that was another point I made. If you're a student, if you're a UVA student and you're handing out tickets to Tech fans, like that kind of stuff just boils me, man. But yeah.
But I think like last year the thing like we both weren't good, but like oh, man, we had to beat you for bowl eligibility.
Is that what
Jake
it was?
Malisek gets on Twitter chirping. He has all of Barstool
Dude.
convinced that they can win that game, so they all put big money on Virginia Tech to win that game. And then I hop on Twitter when it's 55-17, and they are just dogging him. Like, I can't, we're never listening to you about college football again. We're never betting this shit again. Like, it was just like him, you, Ike, and OG, and Who's Football are like the only serious. Like UVA football, like if all of UVA football fans were like you five, I think you would have a lot better culture, but they just don't care.
I think that you're right, and that's probably what you see. But there on Twitter, I could probably name a couple more, and just because you're probably not 100% invested in UVA Twitter like I am, but like I've got friends here that don't have Twitter, and they are just as diehard as I am. But the problem is there's just not enough, and that's one thing. Like I have this thing where I do is like say something nice about your rival, and like whenever there's like in high school, I used to do it when this game was coming about. He was like, "You say something nice about UVA, I'll say something nice about Tech." Every single time, my easy way out is, "I wish UVA had a fan base at Tech Day when it came to football." I'll say that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Like that's the most obvious thing ever. But there's just not enough, and there are ways to fix it, and I've got my ideas, but it's not up to me. So,
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, I mean, you guys have had success everywhere else. I'm honestly shocked. Like, I knew, like, I'm an extreme soccer casual, so I'm not gonna act like I'm a massive like soccer fan. Like, I knew our women's team was decent. I did not know we were gonna be in the Elite Eight. Like, that's crazy. Like, all like salute to them. But like, yeah, man, it's just kind of like the heart. Like, it was kind of funny because a couple weekends ago. Like I normally like my buddy lives in Stanton and I'll just drive down from up north because I'm from Harrisonburg and I'll just park at his house and ride down to Blacksburg for the game because we have season tickets together. And I'll normally stay at like the Fairfield Inn the night before because I get like a hell of a discount. Well, there was no discount anywhere to be found. Like I had to stay in like Lexington. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And he asked his people at work, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, UVA has a game this weekend. And he was like, shut up. Like, all the hotels up and down 81 are not full because, UVA is playing football. It was actually Tech's homecoming and JMU's homecoming same weekend. I don't know who thought that was a great idea, but it was just kind of funny. Like, dude, like, even, I don't know. I thought y'all, for all intents and purposes, I thought your team was better than. Well, at least they played better the first half of the year, especially defensively, than I think a lot of people thought. And you get SMU coming into town. They're ranked 13th in the country, and you got like eight people in the
Oh my
stands.
God. So this season, in terms of just like home games and fan attendance, when I was truly, it wasn't as embarrassing as the Tech game last year, but here we are. We beat Richmond at home, which is nothing to brag about. We beat go on the road and beat Wake Forest 31-30 to start the ACC off 1-0. We're 2-0. And then we have a Saturday night home football game against an old rival in the Maryland Terrapin. And I'm texting my, like the whole thing. UVA football tweeted out on Monday, hashtag sellout Scott or something along those lines. And then on Thursday night, they tweeted out a video of Chris Long doing a voiceover and a hype video. Sellout Scott, sellout Scott. Dude, it was like 40% full. And like it's so funny because I get tricked every time. I'm like, this is the one we're gonna show up. Like, it's gonna be. I forget what channel it was on. It might have been ESPN, might have been ACC Network. I don't know. But either way, we got clowned. As one Tech fan watches that, and like, we get clowned, which is totally. It's a fair clowning. I'm not gonna quote tweet it and defend it. It's like you're a
Right.
football team playing against an old rival with a chance to go 3-0, and then you play Coastal Carolina, like things are starting to stack up if you win this game. Like bowl eligibility is not only you can see it, but you can taste it kind of thing. And no one shows up. And the excuse I get after, of course, I tweet something about it, is it's too late. It's an 8 p.m. game. Dude. I mean, and these aren't secrets. Like that was a tweet that was in response to me. It's like, well, game wasn't at 8 p.m. Like, I don't think so, because then Boston College homecoming noon, 2 weeks later, we lose against Maryland, as I'm sure you remember. It was just horrible. We couldn't get anything going on offense. We go on the road, beat Coastal Carolina 43-20 or something like that, and then we come home, homecoming. We're 3-1. Noon game, so noon homecoming game. Not night game. 40%. I think that was our third. The attendance at 40% full, I'll say. I was there at that one. And the excuse for that one was there was a massive fraternity party on campus that all the students and their parents went to during the game, Dan. And I'm like, what? I was sitting there. I was like, that can't be real. That can't be. Sure enough. And like one of the students tweeted that went to the game. Props to him. Skip the party or whatever it was. It's like, this is what happened. My friends are there. Won that game. So that's why I love this team, this football team. Tony Elliott, I have some, words for him, but like, I do have some good things to say about him too, this staff. But this team shows up on the road and at home, most of the time. Hasn't been every week, but in crowds that are just like less than par when you're at home. And then when you're on the road, like at Pittsburgh, they ruin their season pretty much. And like this team, granted, the skill isn't top 25, top 50, whatever it is, but they want to be playing for the University of Virginia. They want to be playing for Tony Elliott. And that stuff, like, you can see on the field. They're 5-6, and we'll see what happens next week. But that's part of the reason I love rooting for this team, because you can tell they want to be out there no matter if the stadium is, more than 50% full, which is embarrassing.
Yeah, I think your team has shown up more than the logo on the side of your helmet this year.
Well, yeah.
Did you lose it? Like,
No,
what? Like, is it?
I have a theory about that. That game started that started when that was our homecoming uniform. So back in the 80s or whatever, that was the look they had, was the orange jersey, white helmet, no V saber. That's what it was. And they honored that football team at halftime. So they wanted to, I guess, dress up like them. And they won that game 24-14, came back. It was a great game, Boston College. So then they just started this, like, oh, it worked, kind of thing. Let's do it again.
I get it. Superstition.
Yeah, right. But, I'm biased, obviously, but obviously you can't go around with a V saber on a helmet.
Why don't you use the old Cavalier every now and then? Like we use the ho like we have we're starting to bring back the Hokie head on some merch.
Yeah.
The Cav I don't know why you don't bring the full headed, like the Cavalier head.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking, well, I would love that. We had a rebrand in 2019 that is just
Carla. Come on, Carla.
Oh, Carla is a okay. There's a lot of like opinions about Carla right now, especially with our basketball team going, I'm not gonna say down the drain, but it's not looking great.
Well, Tony Bennett didn't do you any favors,
Did not do it.
really.
But in terms of like keeping up with NIL and all that stuff, which is just, it gives me a headache every time I think about it. Carla does a great job. And there are a lot of people with different opinions about it, but I think there's something to say about an AD that every athlete at that university speaks highly of. And that's a big part of the job, relationships with the athletes.
Yeah, I can't say the same. I
Yeah.
can't. No, I do think he's done a good job fundraising. But I don't know. I think there's expectations that need to be met that aren't being met across the board, like women's soccer and like wrestling is amazing at Virginia Tech, but they're literally like the one sport that pretty much self fundraises. Like, everything wrestling gets really, like, they raise themselves.
Really?
So I think it's kind of, I'm not saying like an indictment, and I'm not calling for jobs or nothing, but like when like your best program is the one program that you don't really help, like, it's not good.
Yeah.
And we had a really good thing with women's basketball for a while. Kenny left. I think Coach Duffy's going to be great. Those girls, they play their ass off. We might not have the talent that we had, but like they're a tougher team, I think. And I'm not saying like Kenny's soft, but like this team, they play with more fervor and they run the court. They run the court like Roy Williams, Carolina, like the run and gun, like transition baskets. It's fun to watch, but
Yeah,
yeah.
sometimes you bring that up. Some UVA plays the exact opposite in men's basketball. And
We know.
literally, sometimes I just need to watch an Alabama basketball game and be like, all right, this evening it out a little bit. But yeah, I get what you're saying about Witt, and his mentions are probably blowing up, which I doubt he checks, but. It's a tough situation to be in, especially like I don't. What would you say is obviously you guys are 5-6 and the season has not gone how you guys wanted. I mean, preseason there were a lot of talk, not even just the fan base. It was I know Josh Pate was huge, big on you guys. McAfee before
Yeah.
in the ACC. The talent is there. I mean, what do you think the biggest issue has been this year for football?
One score games, dude. Like for
But
like
how they're managed, or just like your luck, or
yeah,
what?
there's just no, I think well, you're never gonna win every one score game. But like sometimes it just doesn't fall your way. But like there's just things. I don't know if it's like sometimes we're driving the ball and then all of a sudden we go completely away from what's working, and then it messes up. Like I saw a tweet last night that I could relate to. It was during the Seahawks game, and somebody tweeted, we take a break from this drive to bring you a Zach Charbonnet carry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it'll be like some wild,
Like,
like naked reverse to Colin
why did that
Schley, the
happen?
backup quarterback, or like the double reverse pass against Clemson when we could have went up 14. Like it and just like certain game management aspects that Pride fails at. It's just I feel like there was a we brought all this talent back on offense, like as far as the receiving room goes, and I don't know if like there was a pressure to try to get all of them the ball or what happened. Like I don't know. I'm just speculating. Like I really don't. Like it's just and then it's like against Duke when they're bringing the house and like they're bringing more people than you can block and our offensive line isn't amazing to begin with. Like there was no like drag route or quick slant or dump off over the top to like to make them pay for that and have them second guess it. They just kept bringing the house and Pop is a really good athlete, but he was the third string quarterback. He hasn't played at all. Like he's a redshirt freshman. Like you gotta, they're not help. I don't think the players, like there's been a lot of stuff. I think like Drones, wasn't seeing the field real well in the beginning. Then he got hurt. They were still playing him. I don't think like the players definitely take some blame for their execution, but I don't feel like the staff has helped out the players as much as they can with the way they call the game, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. And I've watched. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I don't watch. I watch all football, but Virginia Tech is. I watch, and I agree with you. And it's when it's a one. I joke around, and in the I sometimes shoot your DM or whatever about uh-oh, it's a one score game. What's gonna happen? And it's like. I only do that because I know how frustrating that is, by the way. Not necessarily UVA is always in
Oh, I don't.
one
Yeah, I'm
score
just like, God
games,
damn
but
it.
it's like I'm also a Washington Redskins fan and like
Oh.
that kind of stuff just happens. Dude, Dan, let me tell you about the weekend I had. Thursday, UVA basketball loses by 25 to Tennessee. Friday, UVA basketball loses by 26 to St. John's. Saturday, UVA football loses by 26 to SMU. And then Sunday, the Commanders lost to the Cowboys. I mean, it was just.
I took y'all on minus 10.5 with full confidence. Like
Yeah.
I parlayed it, and it cost me like it was the one thing I it was the one leg
Was
I
supposed to
didn't
be like hit
hit.
right game, but certainly it was not. Jaden didn't really play well until the fourth quarter, and it is what it is, but
If it makes you feel better, I'm a Broncos fan,
I know.
and
I see your Bo Nix
but
tweet.
dude.
Whoever wins rookie of the year, I'm a Bo Nix fan. I've been there. I haven't been there since day one like you, but he is good. I'll give you that.
So, with full disclosure, I put out a tweet before the draft, and I said, "If you draft Bo Nix in the first round, that's malpractice."
But hold on, before you proceed, is that tweet still there? Or
I
did you?
didn't delete it.
Okay.
It's
I
still,
can do
yeah.
anything. Can't
I didn't
speak.
do it.
If you're listening to this, whatever you do, do not quote tweet that. Do not quote tweet that.
But then, like, I started to like, so I was ramping it up. Once we drafted him, I have an innate ability to convince myself we got it. This is the one. Like he's gonna be the guy. And then like I would troll a little bit. Like I would just do a bit about it, and I would just be annoying as hell about it. And then it would shift. Like and then it got into preseason. I started seeing it, and I was like, you know what? He actually might. I might not be lying. Like I might be for real when I say this stuff. And then. Like the first 2 weeks were real rough, but you go to Seattle and then you come back home for Pittsburgh. That's a rough two first games in the NFL. I don't care if you're 24, 19. And but now, dude, but
He's
for
got some swag
years
to him. He's got some
after
swag to
Peyton,
him. Yeah.
for years after Peyton, it was like the Broncos and the Hokies kind of mirrored themselves. It was just bad. Like the coaching wasn't good, the quarterback play wasn't good, wasting defenses. Like it was. Man.
That's funny you say that because I feel similar with the teams I root for. But
Yeah.
what can you do?
So 5 and 6, man.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
How
Our,
long is Tony's leash, dude?
put it this way, he is, if I had to put money on it, no matter what happens Saturday, he is coming back.
Yeah, I would say so.
I like him. I will say that. I think there's certainly some in-game decisions that he makes that he regrets. Honestly, like he would probably say the same thing. And there's some questionable things he does, namely at the quarterback position in the last week, that has the fan base all riled up. But he's got great wins and he can win football games, but he's not good at home, which is just the weirdest thing. He doesn't have the best home environment to play in front of, but he struggles to win at home and struggles for some reason to get this team up for home games, which is frustrating. And honestly, 5 and 6, if you asked a lot of UVA fans with a chance to win at Tech and go bowl eligible for this year, this specific year, they would take that. There was a lot of, and I think I was, I had this team going 7-5, full disclosure. And that was probably just because I'm a crazy fan that thinks they can win every game, convinces myself they can win every game before the game actually starts. But I mean, if you look at it, we could have been there with Louisville coming down to the wire. We were winning that game with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then, I mean, looking back at it, no, we should not have. 41-14 against North Carolina at home when you're 5-point favorites is just unbelievably bad. And that's the most mad I've been this year. But that was another winnable game before the ball kicked off. I don't know. But 5 and 6 with a chance to be go to the whatever bowl, whatever it's going to be, the 6 and 6 bowl against whoever, Kansas maybe, 6 and 6. Although whoever plays Kansas in their bowl game is going to lose because Kansas.
Jalen Daniels. To be fair, whoever plays Army in their bowl game is going to lose.
Yeah, last bowl game you went to because the Fenway Bowl got canceled against SMU because of COVID. Last bowl game we played Navy. In what bowl game did you guys play in last year? It was the same
We
one.
played in the military bowl against
Military
Tulane.
Bowl. And we returned the opening kickoff. I was there and I was talking so much shit, Dan, when we record when we returned that, we didn't score again. We lost 42-7, I believe, 35-7. But this year, you hate to be like, all right, you did better than I thought, but they did. And this team, I hate to blame, every team has injuries. And I did the math the other day. Since we released our opening depth chart against Richmond, game one, I have it written down actually. 13 of our 25 players listed on the offensive depth chart have missed time, meaning a game, not a snap, a game. 10 of our 22 defensive players have missed, not a snap, but a game. And I'm not saying any of our losses would turn into wins there, but they're banged up, and they are banged up going into this game too, which is every team struggles with that, and you don't know. You only obviously pay close attention to your team and your injuries, but it's almost been ridiculous. It's like, what's going on? What are we feeding these guys? But we got a chance to make it a solid season, and me saying that, and you're probably hearing it like 6-6, man. That's like not that good, but I'll take it. I'll seriously take it. If we can win on Saturday, there is no doubt about it. And every UVA fan should feel the same way. You should take it. And you should take a bowl game, and you should be happy with the season. And it certainly had ups and downs, but I would definitely be happy.
Yeah, I mean, how much pressure is Tony feeling? Not only does he have a quarterback situation he's got to figure out, but he has to come to Blacksburg
Oh, yeah.
to become bowl eligible. So the pressure to beat Tech and the pressure to figure out the quarterback position to get
Yeah.
to a bowl game.
Yeah. There's certainly a lot of pressure. And I think the quarterback situation, it hasn't been a thing all year long, but in the off season, it certainly was. And he was, I don't know what was happening behind the scenes, but he certainly made it seem like a 50-50 thing with Musket and Calandria. And I would say 75, 80% of the fan base was Team Calandria then. And like if you start Musket, that's malpractice kind of thing. And here's the deal with Musket. He's a better passer. But I think the reason that Tony Elliott plays Calandria is because our offensive line is subpar and has injuries. And Calandria literally has less, makes it seem like he has less than a second to make a decision. Has one read, it seems like, and then just starts to scramble. And when he starts to scramble, he just hasn't been making the best decisions. He'll either run out of bounds, which counts as a sack. So he's been sacked the second most in the nation this year. And I don't know what the stats are of him just running out of bounds, but he does that a lot. He'll like say it's a mistake and then do it again the next game. And then even against SMU, like we ended up scoring this possession, but we were in the red zone. It was like first and goal from the 4 or 5. He got sacked, and then the next play, he started to scramble, felt the pressure, totally just fumbled the ball because he let go of it. And it was just like we ended up scoring. He threw a prayer to Malachi Fields, and we ended up scoring. But it just seems like it's just a circus when he's in. And the kind of dub on him when coming into the season was he was a gunslinger. And with a gunslinger, you take the interceptions, but you expect some big plays as well. Those big plays have not been there. So I think the right move, at least for this game, is to play Musket, and just hope the offensive line holds up. And
Have you met Antoine Powell
I have not met him, but
Rylan?
I do know J.C. Price. He's the defensive line coach, right?
Yeah.
I do know him, and he's like the only coach I haven't, besides what's his name, Fontel Mines, the wide
Yeah.
receiver, that I haven't
Yeah.
seen someone call.
He played for the Bears and now he coaches for the Hokies.
Yeah, and your defensive line, I mean, they ate him up last year. It's no secret. No secrets to be like told here. And Xavier Brown, our running back, got hurt. He's out for the season, collarbone, I believe. And then Kobe Pace got hurt last game. He didn't come back, but Tony Elliott says he's day to day, whatever that means. So we might have our third string running back in there. And the running game, Des Kitchens loves to run the ball or loves to try to run the ball. And it just like doesn't, it hasn't happened except for Coastal Carolina is our only 100-yard rush game for one running back. Xavier Brown had 171 yards that game. And I don't know. There are just a lot of things that need to go right on Saturday for us, and history repeats itself. So we'll see. That's what I'll say.
I don't know who we're starting on Saturday, but I feel like it's probably Pop Watson.
What's going on with drones, man? Is he like, when did he get hurt? I know he got hurt early in the
Honestly, I
season,
think
but
it was Rutgers. I think it was Rutgers when Parker stepped on him and he got the safety in the end zone. That's when I think it happened. And then I think it got worse. I think he could play. And
man.
then it got worse against Georgia Tech, is what I think happened. But I don't know for certain. But I would obviously like to have Kyron Jones, but
Yeah.
Pop, I mean, this is good for Pop because now like you can see, hey, like is he the future of this team, or are we going to look at the two freshmen coming in next year, one coming from DeSoto High School in Texas, Kelvin Ryan, who's a beast, and the other AJ Brand, who Shane Beamer has been flirting with for months. But
Beamer. That name gives me chills, but go
yeah, but
ahead.
like, yeah, I don't know. Like, so I think we're both going to be banged up for
Yeah, like I
sure.
said, like I don't want anyone listening to this saying like this guy's just setting up for a way out on Saturday, blaming injuries. That is not what I'm doing. Every team has injuries. I recognize that. It just sucks to see the players that you root for go down and miss time. Because you know they want to be out there. But it just seems it happens almost every game where it's like, all right, especially on our defense. It's like they started that SMU game getting a couple stops and then keeping UVA in the game when SMU did score a touchdown. But our offense just couldn't do anything. And then the game went on, and all of a sudden, these guys are dropping like flies. And some of them did come back, but it's weird to see, and it's sad to see. And you start to wonder, it's like, is it the conditioning? Is it the training? But you know, at this late in the season, you're gonna get those for every team, but it is what it is. And you know, you're going into Saturday and you're like, these are our guys. And if you're Tony Elliott, you're making those guys feel as confident and as ready to play as possible. And I don't know. I want to know what the pregame speech is for Virginia Tech has been in the last couple of years, or not even a couple of years, a lot of years. It's not working. The players like they're not fired up. Virginia Tech, you can tell. They go out of the locker room and they're like, we're gonna beat the brains out of these guys because it's Virginia and we hate them and we expect to win. It's not the same vibe over in Charlottesville. It's just not.
You saw
But
the clock, the countdown clock, or is it gone?
no, that's gone. That's gone. And honestly, hey, I know like there were a lot of tweets like rent free, rent free. That's the kind of that's part of a rivalry. Like having that clock, wanting to beat Virginia Tech that bad is something I can get behind. And I'm totally fine with it. But it just find something that works.
Yeah. No, I agree there.
Obviously, you don't want them to find something that works. But I have a question for you, actually. There are a lot of Virginia Tech fans and like just around, and I grew up all around them, growing up in Richmond, and you know, I'm friends with a lot of Virginia Tech fans. They say, and I want your complete honesty here, that when they are not worried about Virginia at all, do you get nervous before this game? Like, because like I said, as soon as the fourth quarter ended against SMU, I'm like, I want to win this game so bad, and I get nervous. But obviously, Virginia Tech has a history of winning this game. But it's like, from a diehard fan's perspective, like you are, and I know so many Virginia Tech football fans are, how can you possibly go into this game and not be nervous at all? Is
Well, it's kind of like,
it
I feel like it's always like in the back of your head,
Yeah.
like, hey, this doesn't ever happen, but could it, is this the year that it might happen? But then it's like, I've only since, what, 2000, I've only seen it happen twice. And it's kind of just like, like until it
What's on the
happens,
way?
I don't expect it to, because
Yeah.
I've seen some really bad Tech teams like still beat UVA, like the overtime game with Michael Brewer and Beamers last year in Scott Stadium, or like
Yeah. Yep.
you had us dead to rights and then you threw the ball to offensive linemen.
Yeah, dude, I was at
Yeah.
that game, as I am almost. I haven't been obliged for one of these games, and believe it or not, I do want to go, but I was at that game, and at the time, Antonio Clary is still on our team, but he actually gave me two of his family seats because he's from Florida and his family just can't make a lot of the games. But at the time, they Virginia, the way it was set up, they had the family section behind the visiting bench, which is absurd. So, Dax was on that team,
My
Holyfield.
guy, yeah.
You guys know who that is. I can't remember his name, but we were in that game was a good game, and I throughout the game was like, could this be the one? Could this be the one? And we were talking so much trash to Dax, and like they were responding to us, and it was fun, honestly. And then that happens, and Dax and this other guy, I forget who it was, because when everyone rushed the field, everyone, Virginia Tech fans rushed the field after the game. I actually jumped over and got on the field, and this player, I went up to him and was like, "Hey man, good game." Like I didn't, it was just all in good fun. He's like, "Yeah, no, it was fun and honestly fueled us." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." But when we were doing that, an RMC staff member was sitting next to us. He was like, "I don't know why you guys keep talking shit, because every time you do, something bad happens for UVA." I was like, "Yeah, but whatever." We had a couple of beverages in us, a couple of Miller Lights, and but it was fun until the end. And Dax, I know you guys love him, and I probably would love him if he played on UVA. I know he hates UVA. He's like one of those guys that is like, that guy I can tell hates the University of Virginia.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, as I'm sure a lot of Virginia Tech athletes do. And I think like that's part of the issue. Not enough Virginia athletes know how much a rivalry is supposed to mean because of the history of it. Hey, and I'll be the one. I'll lead that TED talk. We can. I'll be at the middle of Scott Stadium, and I'll get all the UVA athletes in the stands, and I'll tell them how much they're supposed to hate Virginia Tech. And I say this all the time. Listen, the school, the rivalry. I'll say I hate Virginia Tech, but like the people I know, and like. I don't hate them. Like I don't hate you, Dan. I hate the rival. I hate Virginia Tech. I don't like it. And I root against them every week. But like in terms of the people, like I got nothing horrible to say. So.
Yeah, well, we're both in rarefied air because JMU has both beat us, and also you went there and you saw your alma mater beat your favorite team, and I went to Marshall and I saw Marshall beat my favorite team last year, so that's fun.
Yeah, not really, but I was at that game too. And I did go to JMU. I grew up a huge, huge diehard UVA fan. I still am, and it's just impossible for me to walk away from that. Still root for JMU, all their athletics, all that. UVA actually has lost to JMU quite a bit in like the last couple of years. One in basketball, football, both very close games. Both game like the second half of the basketball game, I couldn't even watch because I just get like that. I just get so nervous and anxious. I was like, I can't watch this. I don't know who to root for. And that football game I was at, I was wearing a UVA shirt and a JMU hat, and I felt like Judas. I was like this, like both ways. I was like, this was not the right call. Yeah, it is that was a tough game for sure. But it's weird. I am looking forward to the game because I will be far away from it. I'll be in Tampa watching it, hopefully like at a bar or something, but it is at 8 o'clock, so I won't be able to enjoy the beach afterwards, win or lost, but I'll be at least at a bar in Tampa far away from it.
So you won't be going to the game, is what you're saying.
No, so I was very 50-50 on it, but I'm going to Tampa the day after Thanksgiving to see Casey Musgraves actually in concert. Yeah,
Yeah, I
pretty.
would too.
Yeah, dude, tell me about it. I've been there a couple times. I got pit tickets. I'm like, listen, I need some sort of therapy session on Friday night before Saturday, and that's what this is. So, and I got a bunch of family down there too. So we're gonna. Some of them have siblings that went to Tech, so I will be watching with Tech fans as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
It's
dude,
everywhere.
like it is everywhere. Yeah, I feel like the pressure on this one is different, whereas like I feel like Tony Elliott probably puts the pressure on himself in this one, and I feel like Pride does too, but I feel like if they lose the Tech, your fan like the fan base and the administration is not really gonna throw a stink. But like if we lose to UVA, the fan base is gonna go crazy, especially with how the year has been already. Like, it's not gonna be. I don't want to see it. I don't want to witness it.
Yeah. What was it like? 2019. Was it Fuente still? Who was that?
Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah, it was Fuente.
Was that? Do you remember what that loss was like in terms of how the reaction, your reaction, and then Twitter's reaction, and then people coming at Fuente?
Yeah, my reaction was this son of a bitch has cost us a lot. And then he just was the guy that lost to UVA for the first time since like 2003. YouTube wasn't even like Facebook, like that was the first time a UVA fan could ever even tweet or Facebook post about beating Tech in football. And I was just like, get this dude out of here.
Was that when he was fired?
No, he got fired in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that was Bryce Perkins, who was awesome.
He was probably, I don't know if this is correct, but he was our best chance of beating in the last since 1998 of beating Tech in Blacksburg. And then I don't know what, I can't remember what happened. I remember there was a fumble in the end zone at one point in the game, recovered by Tech. And then obviously he fumbled to end the game. But God, talk about heartbreak. I remember I was watching. I was in the Outer Banks at the time, and I was watching there. We were there for Thanksgiving, my family. And I'm not kidding you. 5 seconds after that fumble, I get a FaceTime from one of my friends that's a Virginia Tech fan. And I freaking answered it too. I was like, I was just too mad to even speak, but they were at the game going crazy. I was like, why am I the first person you think of? Like, go celebrate.
It's because we're out there on, and on we put ourselves out there on the internet,
Yeah.
dude.
First of all, I don't know how that FaceTime got through because I've heard pretty bad things about the connection in Lane Stadium, but it got through and I answered.
It's gotten better, in my opinion. Like, I was there for Thursday night against Boston College, and like during timeouts, I could pull the Broncos game up on my phone and watch it like during timeouts and halftime. Like, no issues. And like, all my texts and shit come through, which I think like Wi-Fi is important. Like, we should have good Wi-Fi, but at the same time, like,
You're at a football game.
who the hell do you need to talk to, man? Like, we're here, we're not doing TikToks, and we're here to watch the game, like, lock in. And that helps me a lot, keeping my phone in my pocket, because there's some shit I want to instantly react to that I'm glad I don't have an opportunity to do.
I'm big on that. I don't tweet much during football games because literally anything can happen. I remember Wake Forest was a big one. We were down 14, I think, going to the fourth quarter, and people were calling for Tony Elliott's head, Calandria's head, all that, and then we ended up winning. And I put a video out there. I was like, "That's exactly why I don't tweet during the games. Like, you guys just need to watch it and realize this is college football, and literally anything can happen." Ask Oklahoma fans. Like, they just whipped up on Alabama, and they've lost five, and they were 1-5 in the SEC before that. Just calm down, watch the game. Anything can happen.
Yeah, like Saturday night, I was about to tweet, this defense just keeps getting punched in the mouth. And then, like, immediately before I hit send, it caused Malik Murphy to fumble, and we recovered it, and I just hit cancel. It's like, well,
Don't even put it in the draft. Just cancel it.
yeah.
I tell you
But that
one
has been a
thing.
problem.
I'm worried about Dorian Strong. I assume he's probably gonna be on Fields, Malachi Fields, and I'm just worried our offense. I feel like our defense is gonna do enough to keep us in the game. I feel that way. Do not clip this if that does not happen. But I'm just worried it's gonna go the way the Maryland game did, the way the SMU game did for the first half, and our offense isn't gonna do enough. I feel like Musket does give us the best chance to do that though. And I'm not an Anthony Calandra hater by any means. I think yes, he hasn't played well, but the effort that guy, you should have seen this guy's jersey at the end of the game. I have a video and I took it like on the last drive and he's handing the ball off and you can barely even see his number 10 on the back. One, because he was sacked 9 times. Two, because he would scramble and he would just like do anything to get even a yard. And I was like, that kind of player, yeah, you can get upset with not playing very well, but you can't deny the effort. That's the kind of, and people do not like that. I think that way, like, this guy's playing well, get him out of the game. Like, there's no reason for him to be in, but that's the kind of guy I want on my team. And if, fan engagement or whatever, I don't know how much attention they actually pay to that, but you're at risk for running him out of town, Calandria. And then, I know as a UVA fan, if he were to transfer and go somewhere next year, he probably would ball out. And we'd be like, what? Why did we call for his head again?
You think
But
he can be, so you think he can be fixed?
it's tough. It's really tough doing like what Tony Elliott said in the press conference after the SMU losses. The reason he said that he didn't take Calandria out was because he felt like he didn't make bad decisions. He didn't miss a lot of throws. It was because he had a second to throw the ball, which is true. But he definitely did miss some open receivers, but it was probably because he was under pressure. And I've seen it. There's been games this year that Calandria did look good. He looked good against Wake Forest. He looked great against Coastal Carolina. If you could say it's Coastal Carolina, but at the time, we were favored by a point, I think. And everybody and their mother was like, Coastal Carolina is going to win this game. And Calandria, he played well. And he had 350 yards against Wake Forest. There is like, that's the kind of stuff you got to take. You take the good with the bad. There's been bad, but there's also been good. And he's a sophomore. So let's just like, you can still develop that guy.
Yeah, do you think he starts Saturday?
Do I think so? Everything he wants to say no, but there's definitely a chance. Like I said, I think Muskie gives us the best chance on Saturday. I want Calandria on my football team, but I think Muskie gives us the best chance on Saturday. He's a better passer. It seems like he makes better reads, and he goes through his progressions better, and he can run the ball. He doesn't love running the ball like Calandria does, but he can. And in terms of escaping your guy on the defensive end, that's gonna be an issue. So that could be a reason Calandria starts. Either way, whatever decision's made, I'm gonna root just as hard for UVA. It's not like the news is gonna come out and be like, I hope we lose this game. And that's not gonna happen. There will be people that I hope there's not, but you can't avoid that one fan that you just read their tweet and you're like, what the hell are you even doing
One of them.
there? Yeah. So that doesn't
Fun.
really answer your question, but if I had to put money on it, I would say Tony Elliott goes with Calandria at least to start the game. But as I've said, my opinion is I think Muskie gives us the best chance for sure, especially without a like solid running back one. Like, you need to be able to pass the ball this game. You have to. And your defense is going to make it tough. I just know it. So,
I hope so.
put it this
Yeah, I
way,
really don't.
they'll get up for the game and they'll be hyped and they'll be ready to play. So,
Oh yeah, they're gonna be.
easy.
There's no way they'll be flat.
Yeah. How do you think the game's going to go? If you like, Virginia Tech football better than I do, you know how they have played this year. How do you see this game going? It's a 7.5 point spread, night game in Lane, nightmare. So, how do you see it going? Cold too.
Yeah, it's gonna be like it's the real feels like right now 15 degrees at kick.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like I wanna say a comfortable dub, but like I really don't know. Like I don't think it'll be 55-17. But I like
We didn't think that last year.
for example, like Boston College, like Brent Pry has beat their ass for 3 times now. So like I feel like when you he locked I don't know, there's just something about a team. When he has their number, like I feel like he really has their number, but we only seen him play once because the unfortunate shit happened in 2022. But like, I don't know, man. I would like to think that we win, but I'm not gonna say like, I don't know. I hope we win by double digits, but at this point, I just hope we win. Like, I just want the dub, you know?
Yeah.
It really depends because Pop Watson like has talent, but it's raw. I mean he looked good a lot in that game against Duke. Like Manny Diaz has a pretty he knows how to dial it up, and he hung in the pocket and delivered some clean throws. So I think it really and he's got legs. He can run. He can run his ass off. So I think it just depends on how well his brain works in that game, like if he mentally sees it or not.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's just like I said, it feels like Groundhog Day. And even when UVA's win, like there's no score on Saturday that can be put up in UVA's favor that I will feel comfortable with until there are zeros on the clock, which is wild, not wild, but it's just like that's just the way it goes for
We
us.
got to figure out how to eliminate Sanker, I think.
Yeah,
If you
I mean
can
he
eliminate
oh
Sanker.
yeah, he's our best player on defense. There's no doubt about it. And we got some good, solid guys up on the line. There have been games where they have underperformed for sure, but they have the ability to get by your Parker. I've seen a lot about him, so I hope we at least, go after that a little bit. But corners have struggled a little bit all year, so it's like you talk about your wide receivers and them struggling. But we'll see. Like
Look,
there's a
it's not always as advertised as you see it with Parker, but sometimes it is.
yeah.
There's like one or two plays a game that just like make the highlight reel in the worst way. Bashaul seemed like 80% healthy against Duke, which I thought he'd be 0% healthy against Duke. So that gives me a little hope.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about him. I mean, he's
Mean, he ran it up on you last year. It was crazy. Like,
and he's
I
been.
know, you know the image of him on the hill with all the
I
Tech
know,
fans.
I know, I know. I've seen it, and like that was part of it. Like you see that, it's one thing for him to be on the hill, and it's another thing for him to be surrounded by Virginia Tech fans on the hill. It's like so much to break down in that photo, and it's like, from my perspective, it's like this is just so sad, but. I understand why you guys love it so much.
Can you see this?
No. Hold it up. I see it, but you're just blurred.
My buddy, sorry, he just tagged me in a post on Facebook. He was like, that time me and Dan were high school football coaches. It was the picture from, because today was the day last year. Yeah, 55-17.
I remember. I legit, I think I was the last UVA fan there. I don't know why I stayed, but I did, and it was freezing cold. And I just
It's
remember it.
commendable.
I did not even on my ride home to Richmond from Charlottesville. I did not even listen to music on the way home. Usually after
Damn.
boss, I'll pull up Juice WRLD or something like that, get the feelings going.
Jesus.
But like that game, I was like, I don't deserve to listen to anything. Just sat in silence.
Yeah, dude, sometimes I look at people that don't care about sports and I'm like, how did you get so lucky?
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you. But then they're like political people and they're just mad all the time. They're really into
Like, never
politics.
mind. I'd rather
So,
be where I am.
yeah. But that's, yeah, man, it should be interesting. Ollie Jennings, I hope he went off last game. It was the Ollie Jennings we had been waiting to see since last year when he went off against ODU in the first game and then got hurt and missed the year. But yeah, he's been non-existent this year. I know he got banged up, but I'm hoping that he is back in form for this game and we can go bowling. And I will have no shame in going down on the field if we win this game.
There you go. I'm glad to hear you're gone. I'm sure Lane will be
It's gonna be
whatever.
packed, dude.
Let me
To our
pack.
detriment, we always
Like
pack
I've
it.
seen and I'm scrolling and for some reason I am like my Twitter is like 80% UVA, 20% Virginia Tech, just because I interact with you, the Sons of Saturdays guy, all them. But I see people like selling their tickets, not going. But there's no way it's like 8 p.m. game, Lane Stadium under lights against UVA. That's not going to be a tough environment to play in. Like, there's just no way.
Oh, it's gonna be packed
For
and
sure.
cold. Yeah, hell yeah. Trey, dude, I appreciate the shit out of you, dude, for coming on here and doing this with me, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, I had fun. I had fun. We'll definitely talk on Saturday or whatever. But
Oh yeah.
what's our bet? Like, I know what my side is, but what are you gonna do for me if UVA loses or wins?
Didn't you say I had to? Did you say I had to buy a Who shirt?
I'll get you a Who shirt somewhere, and you gotta. But it can't just be like if Virginia Tech loses, you have my word on this. You're gonna send me what, a Terra Dome sweater or something like that? I will wear that. Not only will I wear it, but I'll post the picture on Twitter of me wearing it. If UVA wins, I expect the same from you.
Oh yeah, absolutely deal.
Doesn't have to, doesn't have to say like go Hoos or anything like that. You can just take the picture. All
Yeah,
right.
I'll do that. I'll honor that.
You got my word if Tech
Yeah,
wanted to. So
if I have to wear a UVA shirt, some people are gonna pay.
that's
Yeah, for sure, but I'll do it.
all right, man. Good stuff.
And as always, man, go Hokies.
Nah, dude. You don't leave me like that.
Yes,
Thanks for having me, though. That was fun.
sir. Absolutely, man.